Who will be the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers in the 2021 season? That's the topic of discussion for this latest edition of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Thank you. Welcome back. Appreciate the listen, the support. A lot of names being talked about, a lot of speculation going around. Who's going to be playing quarterback for this franchise going forward next season and in the future? Some people talk about Matt Ryan. That makes sense from the standpoint of his past history with Kyle Shanahan. 2016, Matt Ryan was league MVP with Kyle Shanahan calling plays for him. They, of course, went to the Super Bowl, had a 28-3 lead, choked it away. But Matt Ryan did play his best football of his career with Kyle Shanahan as his play caller. They have a great rapport with each other, great friends off the field. Kirk Cousins is another name being talked about. Kyle Shanahan wanted Kirk Cousins in the 2017 season. Was hoping and waiting from the guy of his deal with Washington, the team he was playing for at the time. It was during the 2017 season that the trade was made to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. He went 5-0 to finish out that season, so he's been the starting quarterback ever since. There's also been some talk about Matt Stafford, the current starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions. I wouldn't mind that. He's 32. He's not as old as Matt Ryan, but he's still a veteran quarterback. He's still old, still some tread on the tires. Matt's had great individual success in the NFL, hasn't had great team success, has not won a playoff game in his career, has all the physical tools and capabilities. I wouldn't blame him for his lack of team success in Detroit. I think that's a shitty organization. You know, Detroit's got a history of being losers, so I can't put all that on Matt Stafford. After Calvin Johnson left, he still put up great numbers. The defense hasn't been that good, the running game's been non-existent, so you really can't blame Stafford for the lack of success in Detroit. So we had to go the veteran route. Matt Stafford is the quarterback I would take. This would be 4 years younger than Matt Ryan. Some people have floated the name Sam Darnold out there. Get that all the way the fuck out of here. Fuck Sam Darnold. I want nothing to do with Sam Darnold as a starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. I didn't like Sam Darnold coming out of college. I thought Sam was a turnover machine at USC. He's been a turnover machine for the Jets in the NFL. He's been injury prone. We don't need any more of that out here. So anyone who's pro-Sam Darnold for the Colin Cowherds of the world, fuck you. Take that somewhere with you. Get the fuck out of here with that. He's shown some flashes. He's shown some moments. But come on, let's be serious here. Sam Darnold is not ever in his career at any point going to be an elite quarterback in the National Football League. I'm just calling it like I see right now. Should the 49ers go the veteran route? Should they bring back Jimmy Garoppolo? Once again, I would tell you to get the fuck out of here with that. Under no circumstances should Jimmy Garoppolo be brought back to play quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers next season and going forward. Number one, if he's on the roster past May of 2021, you have to pay him, the 49ers have to pay him, $26 million. $26 million for your average quarterback who, as I've already said numerous times on this podcast, needs everything around him to go well just for him to look competent. $26 million per season is starting quarterback money for a franchise quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a franchise quarterback. He's been with his team since 2017. He's not proven at any point that he's an elite franchise quarterback. I guess that depends on what your definition of a franchise quarterback is. For me, a franchise quarterback is the guy who he's responsible for your success. He can go win a game by himself. He doesn't need everything to be tailor-made for him to go out there and be successful. He has the physical tools, the mental tools. He's healthy. He's durable. You can depend on him being on the field every week. He can galvanize the guys in the locker room. He's someone that the other team's afraid of. That's a franchise quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is a franchise quarterback. Russell Wilson's a franchise quarterback. Tom Brady, even with that shitty game he had versus New Orleans on Sunday night, even with that horrible performance, at the age of 43, is still a franchise quarterback. He has 21 touchdown passes this season at 43 years of age. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a franchise quarterback. And if you bring him back next season, you pay him $26 million for a average, decent, slightly above mediocre quarterback. You look at the rest of the 49ers roster, the holes they're going to have to fill in next season. Fred Warner's contract is coming up. He's going to be asking for big money. He's established himself as the best middle linebacker in pro football. You're going to have to pay him. Pretty much the entire secondary is going to be gone after this season. Richard Sherman's contract is up. Jason Verrett's contract is coming up. Emmanuel Mosley's contract is coming up. Quan Williams will probably be out of here. Only guys you're going to have on the roster from the secondary standpoint is Jimmy Ward, and I think just Jimmy Ward. Jaquaski Tartt, who's also out for the season with a foot injury he suffered on Sunday, his deal was coming up. So you got to pay a lot of people, and the salary cap is shrinking. Next year, the salary cap is going to be somewhere around $175 million. So the cap is going to shrink by $23 million. So that, to me, eliminates not only Garoppolo, but it eliminates all the other veteran quarterbacks that I mentioned previously. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, and Matt Stafford all have big contracts. They all command a lot of money. In order to get those guys, the 49ers would have to trade to bring those guys in. And San Francisco is a team that already has a depleted amount of draft capital. This is a team with a lot of holes to fix on both sides of the ball. The Super Bowl window was really only 2019 and 2020. You look at this roster going forward, it's still going to be talent like Kittle, who's locked up long term. You got Debo Samuel's deals coming up in 2 years. Nick Bosa's deals coming up in 2 years. And he still has to come back off injury. You got Brandon Ayuk, who's looked outstanding so far in his rookie season. Kyle Juszczyk's going to be here for a while. So you still have a lot of talent, but you also have talent on the way out the door. You already lost to Forrest Buckner, who's in Indianapolis right now. So the 49ers are going to have to replenish. And I don't think the best way to replenish would be trading draft picks to get an old veteran quarterback who you also have to pay at least $28 million to. Cousins is getting about $34 million in Minnesota. Matt signed a big deal a couple years ago. He's getting over $30 million. To me, the best way to go forward for the San Francisco 49ers is to draft a young quarterback and then fill in the pieces around them with the money you save by not bringing back Garoppolo and not going out to get a veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, or Kirk Cousins. Look at the recent trend that's been going on in this league the past 4 or 5 years. Starting in 2017, you had the Philadelphia Eagles who won a Super Bowl, and a lot of people will give Nick Foles credit for that. Rightfully so. Nick Foles played out of his mind in the playoffs and in that Super Bowl versus New England. But the table was set for him to come in and eat by Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was playing on a rookie deal before he got his big contract. He was a second pick in the 2016 draft. In 2017, he was playing MVP caliber football and had the Eagles in a position to make that Super Bowl run. Played 11 games that year, got hurt, tore up his ACL in a game against the Rams. Foles came in and took over. The rest of history. But they were in that position because of Carson Wentz and the level that he was playing at. And because Carson Wentz is still playing on his rookie deal, now you have money to pay other guys in the team to solidify your offense, the rest of your offense, and your defense. And they were able to go on a run and win the Super Bowl. Another example will be the 2018 Los Angeles Rams. They made a Super Bowl run, getting there, losing to the New England Patriots 13-3 in Super Bowl 53. But they were able to make this run while having Jared Goff on a rookie contract. He was the first pick in that 2016 NFL draft. And because he's still playing on a rookie deal during that calendar season, you're able, with the money you have left, to go out and add quality veterans like Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters. Now you solidified your secondary. You go out and get Ndamukong Suh to help out the defensive line, which already has Aaron Donald. You go out and get Brandon Cooks, another target for Goff to throw to, free agent from New Orleans. So you're able to add these pieces to help out your rookie quarterback while he's still growing, but you're not paying him that much money because he's still on a rookie deal, and you find yourself in the Super Bowl. Another example, last year's Super Bowl champions, much to my chagrin, the Kansas City Chiefs, had Patrick Mahomes playing on a rookie deal, not making a whole lot of money. But because you save money on your quarterback, you're once again able to go out and add other pieces to improve the rest of your football team. The biggest problem in Kansas City was their defense. That's what stopped them from getting in the Super Bowl in 2018. The offense was electric. Mahomes was MVP that year, threw over 50 touchdown passes. But defensively, they couldn't stop a nosebleed. So you go out and add free agents like Frank Clark and the Honey Badger Tyrann Mathieu. When you have a rookie quarterback playing on the deal that he's playing on his first 4 years, you save money with your quarterback and you're able to go out and add other pieces and make your entire football team better. The 49ers got to the Super Bowl last year kind of in reverse of that ideology. They were paying Garoppolo $26 million last year, so they gave him a big contract based off what he did in a five-game sample in 2017. So Garoppolo was making a lot of money, but the rest of the team wasn't. George Kittle hadn't gotten his money yet. Fred Warner, Deebo Samuel was playing on a rookie contract still. Nick Bosa was a rookie last year. Buckner was still looking for his contract. Jimmy Ward still looking for his deal. So was Armstead. So there's two different ways to go about it, but I think the more sustainable way of going about it is draft a young rookie quarterback, pay him the rookie money, and with the money you save in doing that, you can add other players to your team to complete your football team and really make a run the first 4 years of that quarterback's contract. So that all brings me to Zach Wilson, quarterback from BYU. If you're unfamiliar with who Zach Wilson is, allow me to provide the proper introductions. Zach Wilson is a 6'3", 210-pound quarterback from BYU. This season, has thrown for over 2,512 yards, 22 touchdown passes, and only 2 interceptions, while completing 75.1% of his passes. In addition to that, Wilson has rushed for 158 yards and 8 touchdowns. According to Pro Football Focus, Wilson is ranked as the number 18 overall prospect on the 2020 Big Board. Not only do I have interest in Zach Wilson playing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, but apparently the San Francisco 49ers have interest in Zach Wilson playing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. It had been reported that 49ers Vice President of Player Personnel Adam Peters has scouted both Zach Wilson and Alabama quarterback Mac Jones in person. General Manager John Lynch confirmed that Peters had gone to see Wilson play in person. 49ers President John Lynch appeared on KNBR Radio to discuss Zach Wilson. John Lynch was quoted as saying, "Adam did go out to Boise State to watch a Boise State BYU game. That seemed to have garnered a lot of attention. We're doing our jobs. You prepare for everything." End quote. In that game that Peters attended, Wilson completed 22 of 28 passes for 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and a 51-17 victory for BYU over Boise State. Mel Kiper Jr., longtime legendary NFL draft guru and expert from ESPN, born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, is another guy that's in the camp of Zach Wilson being a top 5 quarterback prospect in next year's draft. As a matter of fact, Mel has him listed as one of his top 5 quarterback prospects going in the next year, along with Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, Justin Fields from Ohio State, The Ohio State University, Trey Lance from North Dakota State, and Kyle Trask from Florida. Wilson is listed as the 5th quarterback on Mel Kiper Jr.'s big board, but rising up through the ranks, he's on the ascension. Mel Kiper was quoted as saying about Zach Wilson, "Zach Wilson, BYU, was early, and he's only a true junior, but Wilson has really impressed me so far. He looks completely healthy following the shoulder surgery he had in early 2019. That setback led to a bumpy season a year ago, and he was reckless at times and held the ball too long, resulting in mistakes, 9 interceptions, and too many off-target throws. That was in 2019. Through 3 BYU wins this season, Wilson has completed an astounding 85% of his passes while throwing for 949 yards, 6 touchdowns, and a pick. He's on fire. Wilson has added weight and strength to his 6'3 frame and is sensing pressure well, manipulating the pocket and showing off his arm. He throws a great ball. Again, Wilson could stay in school and enter the 2022 draft, but he is a legit product," end quote from Mel Kiper Jr. A former BYU quarterback and a former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, my childhood idol, Steve Young, was quoted on KNBR's Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show as saying, "The kid is a really good player. I mean, I'm not going to say he's Patrick Mahomes, but I'm saying he plays like Patrick Mahomes. There's no throw he can't make, and he's just intuitive and really present when he's playing. Man, every week you're like, wow, this is something good." Steve Young had that to say about Zach Wilson. So there you go. There's kind of a brief introduction on Zach Wilson as to who he is as a football player, what type of football player he is, how he's projected to play at the pro level. Steve Young is high on him. Mel Kiper is high on him. He's ascending through the ranks. And I'm high on him. I sat down and watched his tape the other night, a little YouTube compilation on him, watched some film. JT O'Sullivan has a great YouTube channel called Quarterback School. I highly recommend checking that out. JT O'Sullivan, former quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, one of my favorites, even though he honestly wasn't that great, but he was a guy I had high hopes for. But I always liked JT. But JT is a great YouTube channel, Quarterback School. Definitely recommend checking it out. And watching film on Zach, and there are some Mahomes-esque type plays. You don't want to say the guy is the next Patrick Mahomes. That's kind of like saying so-and-so is the next Jordan or the next Kobe. You don't want to put that much pressure on the guy, but there are some improvisational plays that he makes, some off-schedule plays that he makes. There's a confidence. There's a a way he conducts himself on the field, the way he purports himself, that's reminiscent of Patrick Mahomes. The arm strength is there. The guy can make every throw from the near hash to the far sideline. As Mel Kiper pointed out, he does sense pressure well whenever he does get some pressure. This season, he hasn't been under that much pressure. He's had a lot of clean pockets to throw from. But when the pressure does get there, he is athletic enough to escape pressure and make throws on the run, rolling to his right, rolling to his left, similar to Mahomes. That 6'3", 210 frame is good. You do like the fact that he has put on some weight. I can tell watching his 2019 tape and watching his 2020 tape, there is a difference in the size of his frame. So he has added on some size and muscle, as Mel pointed out. I like what I see on tape. I'll just say that. Everything he's put out, the guy's running ability, his throwing ability, his anticipation. He runs a gimmicky offense at BYU, but he doesn't play from under center, which I don't think Kyle is going to be too crazy about. But he has taken some snaps under center. That will be a part of the learning curve as far as coming to the NFL, especially playing in, if you were to be drafted by the 49ers, playing in Kyle Shanahan's offense, you do have to play under center most of the time. Kyle does prefer that as far as running those boots, play action, those stretch plays that Kyle likes to run so much. But overall, I like the kid. I like what he brings to the table. You're looking around the NFL right now. Look at that Miami-Arizona game from last Sunday. Look at Kyler Murray. Look at Tua Tagovailoa. That's the future of the NFL. That's the direction this league is going in. Defensive players are too big, too strong, too fast to just try to play with a traditional pocket quarterback who's only going to be in the pocket. Now, playing from the pocket is more advantageous to playing a longer career, but for where the current league is at right now, with the rules changes especially, that all help out the offense, if you got a quarterback that's dual threat that can make plays with his arms and his legs, you're going to be one of the better teams in this league. Look at the young quarterbacks in this league outside of Tua and Kyler Murray. Justin Herbert's a rookie playing at a high level. Hasn't translated to a lot of wins, but the Chargers have been in all those games. And they haven't lost those games because of Justin Herbert. Look at Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Same thing. Not a whole lot of wins in Cincinnati, but Joe Burrow has been everything as advertised. And Joe Burrow in college ran a pro-style offense at LSU. He was pretty much running the New Orleans Saints offense in college at LSU. You saw the production he put out last year, the insane numbers he was putting up. So my point to that is that a lot of these college quarterbacks are coming in NFL ready from day one. A lot of the NFL concepts and plays and just style of play is infiltrating college football and vice versa. You're kind of seeing now more than ever before a marriage of the pro style and the college style on both levels of football. And it's very interesting to watch. You see a lot of RPOs on the pro level. You see some pro-style offenses on the college level as well. So you're seeing an integration like you've never seen before with the pro-style and the college style. I think with Kyle Shanahan being the creative genius that he is as an offensive play caller, if he can implement some of those college concepts into what he likes to do with a guy like Wilson, as athletic as he is, with the arm strength he has, with the anticipation, with the accuracy that he has, that could be a potentially lethal offense. It has a chance to put San Francisco right back in the Super Bowl conversation. And it wouldn't even be like he's coming into a dire situation. You know, Joe Burrow's got drafted number one to Cincinnati. They had an aging A.J. Green and Joe Mixon. They also had John Ross, who's a former top 10 pick, but he's been a colossal bust his whole time in Cincinnati. He's often injured, and when he's on the field, he's just unproductive. He's injured right now, as a matter of fact. T. Higgins, though, has been a pretty good draft pick. He was a second-round pick from the University of Clemson. He's been very productive so far this season. In a wide receiver draft class that's been better than advertised, you look at T. Higgins, you look at Chase Claypool in Pittsburgh. Justin Jefferson has probably been the best receiver coming out of this draft class. Look at what he's doing for the Minnesota Vikings coming out of LSU. Look at my man Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco, the work he's been putting in so far this season. Jerry Jeudy in Denver. CeeDee Lamb down there in Dallas, Henry Ruggs and with the Raiders. I mean, it's been a pretty good, actually an outstanding class of receivers taken in this year's draft. So Burrow came into a situation where the cupboard was bare, where he really had to play with nothing around him almost, and you see how good he's been. Zach Wilson, if he were to get drafted to the San Francisco 49ers, the cupboard isn't bare. You have George Kittle, the best tight end in pro football. You have Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson out the backfield. We'll probably be on the team next year. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. You know, defensively, Bosa is going to be back next season. You have Fred Warner, who will be re-signed. Once again, the best middle linebacker in pro football. Javon Kinlaw is playing better than the numbers show. He still hasn't registered a sack so far this season. He is top 10 in the league in quarterback pressures. Pro Football Focus has always had him ranked as one of the top rookies in the league this season. Kinlaw is coming along. People got to be patient with that brother. DeForest Buckner wasn't a great player either in year one. But Kinlaw has played good football. He's been good against the run, too. But my point is, there's talent on the San Francisco 49ers roster. And with a dynamic play caller in Kyle Shanahan, to go along with someone like Zach Wilson, I just feel like that's the best course of action going forward for this team. Draft a young quarterback, rookie contract, and with the money you save on not paying for a veteran, you can add other people to the team. I look at our division. I look at Russell Wilson. I look at Kyler Murray. Two dynamic, mobile, dual-threat quarterbacks that can make every play that needs to be made on the field. And we got to see those guys four times a year, two times apiece. I always feel like when we play against Arizona or Seattle, we're at a competitive disadvantage from the quarterback standpoint. It's the most important position in football. It's the toughest position in football, but it's the most important. Because if you have a quarterback, that compensates for a lot of other areas of deficiency on your team. If you got a poor defense, look at Seattle right now. They have the worst pass defense in the NFL. But they're in every game. They're first place in our division. They're 6-2 because Russell Wilson's playing MVP caliber football. Because Russell Wilson is in the conversation with Patrick Mahomes as far as who is the best quarterback currently in the NFL. Kyler Murray is on track to throw for over 4,000 yards and run for over 1,000 yards. When you have quarterbacks with that skill set, you have a chance. You are going to be competitive. Look at Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. His numbers are down in this season compared to last season. But still, the guy last year went 36-6, league MVP. Baltimore had the best record in the NFL last season. This season, they're still a playoff team. They're still winning football games. You need a quarterback like that. You can't just have a statue playing in the pocket. That's what Jimmy Garoppolo is. That's what Matt Ryan would be. That's what Kirk Cousins would be. That's what Matt Stafford would be. A statue playing in the pocket. I don't understand how anyone could be opposed to this. Why trade for an old, aging veteran quarterback you gotta give over $30 million to, where you can just go cheap, go all in on this quarterback his first 4 years, and to see what happens. And in the process, you get a quarterback with an ultimate skill set. You can do everything on the field that a quarterback needs to do while spending money on the rest of your football team. To me, this makes all the sense in the world. With the first round draft pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers should select Zach Wilson, quarterback out of BYU. The only questions on Zach Wilson are that he did have his shoulder surgery in 2019. Can he play from the pocket? Can he play from under center, I should say? And the caliber of the competition he's going against. BYU is an independent. They play against a lot of Mountain West teams. Now, the toughest team he's played against this year is probably Boise State. They were ranked at the time of that game. So you can't question the level of competition he's faced this year. You could look at someone like Mac Jones and Kyle Trask and say, well, those guys playing in the SEC, they play against elite competition on a weekly basis. That's true, but they also have elite talent at the skill positions on their own team. Alabama gets five-star recruits all over the place on both sides of the ball. Look at the receivers they put out the past couple of years. Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Julio Jones, Amari Cooper. Those guys all went to Alabama. Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, running backs. So you get elite players at the skill positions on your own team as you're going against elite players on skill positions from other teams. Kyle Trask at Florida also has elite skill position players on his team and offensive linemen. There are guys on Alabama and Florida's roster who are going to be taken within the first three rounds in the NFL draft. A lot of players. So yeah, you could argue that Wilson hasn't played against a top-tier level of competition, but he's also not playing with a top-tier, elite-caliber level of teammates as well. He's not playing with guys who are going to be taken in the first round. As a matter of fact, Pro Football Focus has their 2021 draft prospect ranking big board already out. There's a number of guys on this big board who played Alabama to help Mac Jones be the quarterback that he is, including Jaylen Waddle, who, according to Pro Football Focus, is the sixth-ranked prospect on their big board going into next season. For Kyle Trask in Florida, his tight end, Kyle Pitts, is ranked as the ninth best player on Pro Football Focus's draft board going into the next season. The 10th best player on that board is offensive tackle Alex Leatherwood from the University of Alabama. So, once again, guys like Trask and Mac Jones have elite caliber help as far as teammates is concerned that Zach Wilson is not operating with at BYU. He's got some pretty good receivers, but none of those guys are projected to be day one first round NFL draft picks. And looking at the tape on Kyle Trask, not as impressed as I was watching Zach Wilson. Looking at the tape on Mac Jones, same thing. Although I think Mac Jones, to me, looked a little bit better than Kyle Trask. So if we don't end up picking Zach Wilson, I wouldn't be that upset with picking Mac Jones. But the point remains, the San Francisco 49ers absolutely must draft a quarterback in the first round of next year's NFL draft. From where I sit right now, if I was the general manager of this team, and John Lynch just gave me a job and said, you're in charge of this, I'm trading Garoppolo to either Chicago or New England, trying to get a draft pick out of it, trying to acquire as much draft capital as possible for the 49ers. I'm getting rid of Garoppolo's contract. We'll eat $2.8 million in dead money. That's fine. And with next year's draft, I'm taking Zach Wilson. So as a 49er fan, I'm encouraged by the fact that we got people watching them right now. You know, hopefully this all comes to fruition. But in all reality, you know, the cynic in me says that when the 2021 draft comes around next year, we'll take another defensive lineman and the 49ers will sign Kirk Cousins to a 10-year, $612 million contract. Some stupid shit like that might happen. Who knows? Hopefully that doesn't happen. But that about wraps it up for this episode of the Deion Gordon Podcast. Thank you once again. I truly appreciate it. I am humbled and grateful that anybody would take 20 or 30 minutes out of their day just to listen to me talk. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much for listening. Picture me rolling. I'm out.